And you're welcome to Racing Only Better, the 100th edition of Racing Only Better, might I add. And we plan to make it a very profitable one as we move to day two of Royal Ascot. The Wednesday, we are 100, not out to use the cricket term, not the crease for us on this wonderful afternoon. Mr. Kevin Blake, how are you, sir?
Jeez, you wouldn't want to see me with a cricket bat now. If you saw me with a cricket bat, I would probably have bad intentions, Hugh, so I hope you never see that. excellent form otherwise.
You are the Brian Lara of our Racing Only Better tipster team. We have the Shane Warne in Mr. Tony Calvin. Tony Calvin, how are you?
What am I going to be?
You don't like Shane Warne, do you not?
No, I do like Shane Warne.
He's a spinner, Tony. He's a spinner. You're a spinner as well. So
I was going to say something else, but I'll be held off, so I won't say what it is. But yeah, he enjoys
it. Was it related to Liz Hurley, was it?
Yeah.
Fair play to him.
Yeah, and we got a good old Freddie, Dan Barber. I've got to give you a Freddie, Dan. You happy with that?
It's very obscure reference, and then probably more Chris Tavares plodding along, barely scoring any runs. Chris Tavares. There's a very famous clip of Chris Tavares batting so slowly that Angus Loughran comes on the pitch and puts a chair down in the square and like sits there watching him.
Stato would have been about 20 then. So
good old Stato.
Yeah, Freddie Flintoff's gone off everyone's radar because he hasn't had a drink in 5 years, has he?
He's turned to a right old boring git, huh?
None of that sort of stuff in this podcast.
None of that sort of stuff in this podcast here. We are all drunk already and it's only 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Right, let's kick into it, lads, if we can. The 2:30 is the first, the Queen Mary Stakes. It's a Group 2 5-furlong sprint, and Kevin Blake can kick us off. We have Twilight Gleaming from Mr. Wesley A. Ward after his runner yesterday. 11-4, Artos 8-1. You've got Nymphadora, the beautifully named 8-1 Nymphadora. Yet in there for Aidan O'Brien at 8-1. Quick Susie, 9-1. Beautiful Sunshine Tens, and you can have what you like about the rest. Right, Kev. Who do you like in this one, please, and why?
Well, Hugh, you need a fast one to win this.
You do need a fast one. Got to be able to run quickly over 5 furlongs.
Wesley Ward, we spoke about him on the day one preview. He was boxing with a 6-furlong horse in the Coventry. He's back to what he does best here. He has a great record in this race. He's won it 4 times. And he has Twilight Gleaming here, who is one of the kind of his European breeds by National Defence, first season sire standing up on the Irish National Stud there, and has had 2 runs so far, and in fairness looked very good on the turf at Belmont last time. Classic Wesley Ward, hit the gates, showed speed, strong late, ease close home, looks like she'll rattle off fast ground and show loads of pace. So she's your starting point. Look, she's well found in the market, obviously. But, you know, I think looking at this race and how it's going to pan, there looks to be an awful lot of speed high. You know, you've got her there. You've got Quick Susie, who's looked like a very fast filly in her few starts over here for Gavin Cromwell. She made a really bold bid in a Group 3 here and just got nutted by her mana Estrella late on. My selection all along for this race has been Desert Dreamer. I was hoping she'd be drawn a bit closer to the likes of Twilight Gleaming. She's drawn 7, so she's a bit away from it, but there looks to be some pace through the middle as well. So I'm hoping she won't be too disadvantaged by being a little bit lower than the main speed. I made my case for her on the preview that we did last week. Mm-hmm. She's very fast. You know, they haven't been going fast enough for her in her couple of races so far. She's been like quite strong, like notably so last time at Newmarket over the 6. She was like borderline running away in behind runners there and had to be patient to wait for a clear run, but quickened up very well when getting a bit of room, and ultimately won quite well. So the harder to go in front of her, the better. I'm sure, you know, she's trained by Stuart Williams, who is known for, you know, Royal Ascot 2-year-olds. People might say she just is a cheap speed filly, but I think she might be a bit better than that. She was kind of 20 to 25 to 1 when we did the preview. She shortened up thereafter, but I expect her to edge out a bit. I see there's kind of some 14s in places now, and she's probably going to edge out to around that price, 16 to 1, and that'll be fair enough. I think I can see her running a nice race.
Lovely, your nap of the week on our big preview show, and you're sticking with her. Okay, so Desert Dreamer for Kevin Blake, Tony Calvin for you. Is there anything else? Are we going to anyone fancy Wesley Ward's 2-year-old? No,
no. I think if, like Kev said, I think you need to be drawn middle to high here, don't you? All the pace that I can see in the race is 17 onwards, isn't it? And even though you've got an American horse drawn too as well, but I think Quick Susie scores quite highly on on the clock and on form. She's drawn 22 and 22, so she'll be hopefully bang on the stand rail, maybe just behind Twilight Gleaming. She's got form over six furlongs in her last two starts, but she's a very quick filly. I think the step down to five furlong will be in her favour in what's going to be a helter-skelter five furlongs. So her ability to stay further is a positive. The question mark is the ground, but no, she's a profitable and obviously profitable as well as winning the King's Stand here. Apparated well on fast ground. And just having a look at Profitable's progeny this season, he's had two or three fast ground juvenile winners as well. So Quick Susie for me, you can get a bit of 12-1 knocking around. It's not a spectacular price, but in a race that I'll be playing to very small stakes, Quick Susie. I did really love the run of Maspoda, who's a 20-1 poke in the marketplace, went fourth to Nymphadora in the Mary Gate. But the draw in five put me off there. But I want one drawn high, and Quick Susie fits a bill on form and with the draw.
Okay, Gavin Cromwell's horse making the trip across, which is interesting. What about yourself, Dan?
Well, firstly, just to get in Tony's good books, I'm going to walk the track. I'm going to go down to the paddock, have a good look at the horses, and then I'm going to bat the American horse on the basis that
that's sound reason.
I just think the dynamic changes a bit when he's now dealing in turf bred horses. I mean, we know he'll instill a lot of speed. I mean, this filly showed loads of speed when she won last time at Belmont, watching the videos back. And we've seen it time and time again with these fast five furlong horses, even the dirt bred ones in the past. They've, apart from Campanelli last season, they've normally been so far clear at halfway, the rest just aren't used to it. They're not trained in that same fashion. So I think whatever beats her will win unless she blows out completely. I think she's probably just too quick and precocious for them. Absolute fly. I think she's three-figure odds. Would be the Meehan horse that ran just a couple of weeks ago, Vertiginous. She was made favourite against a previous winner and beat a previous winner back in third at Bath. It was only a minor race, nothing to shout about at all, but she's got a good pedigree. Oasis Dream out of a filly who reached a rating of 91 on the time form scale, and she showed quite a lot, and Meehan's horses can take a jump for. And I think that's a key point that Tony was making yesterday. Year in, year out, these two-year-olds do leave debut form behind, and she might be a candidate for that at a massive price. I don't know what the each way terms are in this race, but I suspect we'll get at least four, even though it's
a good place to amount with the sportsbook.
Yes, you only need that, don't you? I don't think she'll have anything to do with the early pace, and maybe 11 is high enough to get dragged into it with the pace, definitely on the high side, as we've been saying. Yet, just quickly on Yet, I think she looks more of a six furlong filly to me, the way she saw her off Donica's horse first time out of Dundalk. I thought she might go for the Albany.
Okay, very good. Let's move to the 305 lads, which is the next on the card. It's the Queen's Vaz, Group 2 over a mile and 3/4 of a mile and 6 furlongs. Wordsworth is your 5-2 favourite, the mount of Ryan Moore. Arturo Toscanini is in here at 7-1. Hopefully we get to see his horse out again. Dancing King is in there at 8-1 for Mark Johnston. Kamari 8-1. Ruling is 8-1 for Joseph O'Brien. Kevin might give us a shout on that in a minute. Also, he has Benoit as well at 9-1, which Colin Keane is on board. He's got Taipan for Jessica Harrington. So plenty of Irish interest in this race. Tony Calvin, you can kick us off. A mile and six here, so obviously you've got to stay the distance. A Group 2. Yeah. Anything stand out as a decent bet to you?
Yeah. One thing I like to do, I like to operate at the 48-hour stage when I write and when the tip and when the prices come up. When the prices come up on Monday morning, late Monday morning, I was absolutely staggered that this Betfair Sportsbook had Taipan in at 16-1. Now, that's been backed into 14s, it's been backed into 10s, but I still think he's better at 10s. Now, this horse, I think he's already got the form to win this race, but the big question mark here is obviously the trip, because he's never raced over more than a mile or two before. But and his pedigree isn't, you know, copper bottomed as regards mile six. For all we know, Frankel's a big influence for stamina. But you go and have a look at this horse's run style, and he's just all about stamina. Fifth in the Derrenstown, we know that form is mixed, but he was still among very good subsequent winners. And in the Gallinule last time, he was going nowhere, but he stayed on late again over mile two to finish fourth there. So I think the step up in trip is absolutely key for this. And I also love the angle of Jesse Harrington putting on first time blinkers. go and have a look at this horse's run style. He's just a lazy so-and-so. Shane Foley said exactly that after he got off after winning over a mile at Nace on his debut. He doesn't do a tap and he really needs a lot of rousting. So I think the blinkers could really wake him up. So I think the headgear, in addition to the step up in trip, and he's already got a level of form, I think he could win this. I think Taipan at a double figure prices is a massive player here.
I backed him in the Galileo actually that day. He finished fourth the last day of the Cura, and the more rain I've said, the better for his chances. So I'm with you. I think the step up will definitely suit, and I like your case for him. So I think I'll follow you in there. What about yourself, Dan? Before we get Kevin's word on the Joseph's horse,
mad these races, aren't they? You work down, you think, oh, that's going to improve loads for the trip, and then the next horse on the list, oh well, that's going to improve loads for the trip. And I think the first port of call you go to is the horse who they made favourite, but. It's not like he's the only horse in the race who has got this obvious profile. This is Wordsworth, of course, for being a big improver over this sort of distance. And I was very impressed with Kamari, the Godolphin horse at Yarmouth. He had the race in the bag a long way out. He won by 6. He could have won by 10 or 12 if he'd have been driven out properly. It was a serious, serious performance. And how's this for a pedigree for stepping up in trip? I know he's by Dabawi, but the dam. Not only did she win over a mile and a half, she was runner-up in a Middleton Stakes at York, and she's a half-sister to Milan, who won a St. Ledger. So it's all stamina on the dam side. She's twice raced horse, who's already taken one big step forward after running into a good one despite greenness at Newmarket. I'm expecting a similar leap, and if she manages to produce that, then she's right in amongst the best of these.
Did you guys have to study William Wordsworth in school, or were you?
Oh yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah. Don't recall. Lonely as a Cloud by William Wordsworth. Yeah. I remember being shoveled that down my throat for a couple of years. And not a bad poet, but you know, poetry. I mean, you take it or leave it. Kevin, what about the Joseph O'Brien horses? For stop me digressing into poetry here. What about Joseph's horses in this one? What do you like?
Yeah, two nice horses now. Benno.
Stop that. sorry, TC, sorry.
Yeah, he's a really nice horse, Benno. Look, he was a slow learner, came good at the back end of last season. He would have been one to have in mind kind of for the King George handicap. And I thought he was very good in his reappearance at Nace. I suppose the thing with him is that his run style isn't all that well suited to the King George handicap, in that he tends to miss the kick and get back a bit. And it's very hard to pull off those tactics in the King George. So Joseph decided to run him in this instead, you know, which he has a bit defined in the figures now, but like he is very much a potential improver still, and he'll give himself a great chance to get the trip with the way he races. You know, he's quite lazy, and he looks after himself, etc. So he's got his chance now. He's a horse I've always really liked, and I'd say he's definitely got his chance. The other fella, Ruling, is less exposed, but I know Joseph's always been sweet enough on him now, and he's taken a big step forward each of his three starts. Ran very well at Leopardstown last time in a list of the race. He's still a maiden, obviously, but and he didn't look slow over a mile and a half last time. Now, he showed plenty of pace, but if you look at his pedigree, he's very, very stoutly bred, you know, both sides, you know, Camelot, from a family there that stays particularly well. They're all mile and a half plusers. So on pedigree, he really should stay this trip. So he's definitely interesting, because he showed a bit of class at Leopardstown last time, and carrying that over a mile 6 would make him quite interesting. So I wouldn't put anyone off either of them. And I think Benno in particular, if you gave me a choice between the two, Benno at the prices would make slightly more appeal to me. But I do have this a niggling attraction to Kyprios. Because I know I've been slagging him all the whole season on the podcast. I know Tony put him up at Lingfield, if I remember right, for the Derby trial, or gave him a good mention at least. Yeah. Because he's a horse that just looks slow as a funeral his whole career. He just doesn't travel very well, and he finishes off well. He was disappointing at Lingfield now, but I just don't think Lingfield would have been his track. And a mile 6 around here will be more like it for him, and getting back on nicer ground would be more like it for him. And when you look back at his win at Cork earlier this season, like, that form reads quite well. He beat a horse called O'Reilly who has come out and, you know, run very well in listed company against older horses. And, you know, and that was over 10 furlongs. And he wants much further than 10 furlongs for me. And he did things wrong on the day. So, look, this emphasis on stamina might just pull more improvement out of him. He's got a magic pedigree. Like, he's by Galileo. He's a full brother to Search for a Song and a half brother to Free Eagle and a three parts brother to Free Eagle.
Is he the only Mugler horse that Aidan has, Kev?
I think he is at the minute, yeah. And he's a full brother of Falcon 8, who we know won the Chester Cup, stays very well. So look, stamina could bring out more improvement in him. And he's just a big price. Look, he could just annoy you and go and not travel again and come home well when it's all over. But this is the type of test he wants, and he's a big, big old price now.
Before we move on, lads, what do you reckon the media reaction would be if Stowell wins this after what he did first time up?
Well done, John. Wonderful winner.
Oh, yeah. Interesting, yeah.
He was the obviously horse that Rab Habling got the big...
I notice he doesn't ride him for the big day.
Yeah, well, obviously, he's only around about... I think he's about... Well, he's not that big a price, isn't he? He got Frankie on.
12,
I just want to know how the media will handle it. It'd be they probably won't mention it, will they?
Probably not.
You never know. But I mean, the way he ran the last day. I mean, it's a good shout. I mean, Jesus, there's a lot in here to consider actually. At big enough prices as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what does happen if he does win, lads. But the case been made for quite a few there. We move on to the 3:40 if you can of the day, the Duke of Cambridge Stakes. It's a Group 2 over a mile. Lady Beaufort, our old darling, is back here at 13-8. And obviously, you were very favourable on the last day. You know, she ran a cracker to be second, and you feel there's more to come for her. I know you were sweeter in our big preview podcast, but is she too short at 13-8, or are you still prepared to side with her at that point?
Yeah, I'm one of these people that are really just anal. My view of a race changes as soon as the odds change, and at 13-8 it's well into territory where I can just let her win. I mean, this isn't a penalty kick on ratings, even though she's clearly got the best form. Just articulating the case for her without the price. She's got the best form. She's improving. She's got form at the track. She's got form on the ground. Her stable are in absolutely brilliant form. There are just no holes in her. But everything, you have to view everything in the context, in the prism of a price. And at 13-8, I'd probably want to back the field at 8-13 rather than her at 13-8 if you're a bookmaker. So, yeah, it's kind of a race whereby the price has ruined it for me. So I probably won't be backing Lady Beaufort unless I can get, and she drifts out to 2s, 9-4, which is entirely possible in the exchange, obviously. But, yeah, I think she's much the likeliest winner. But at her current price, I can sit it out.
Okay, sit it out for this one. Well, Champers Elise is interesting coming over, Kevin. I think... If you just ignore the last run, really didn't run the race at all. I think that Johnny was expecting. At 8-1, I'd give it a reasonable shout for it. But who do you like in this race?
Well, look, you know, you're asking to forgive one. You have to forgive the time before as well, really, because it's kind of twice this year that she's, you know, operated, you know, a stone below the best form she showed last year. You know, and a stone is a lot. So I know you're getting good compensation in the price now that she's available at, if you do want to forgive her, but I just want to see her give some indication that she's the same filly she was last season, because we haven't quite seen it yet. Whereas Lady Beaufort, you know, as Tony has outlined, like, is just absolutely thriving at the minute. I don't know how much improvement she showed last time. It's a difficult thing to put your finger on, but you'd be harsh if you said she didn't improve. Certainly a few pounds, and maybe more, like half a dozen or more. She'd beaten Queen Power prior to that. This is a good rematch. It's worth watching that race again and watching it closely, because, you know, there was very little between them at the line there. We're at a different track, furlong shorter here, and, you know, for me, given the way the two of them went through that race, I'd favour Lady Beaufort. But as Tony says, the prices take well account for that now. They've both come out and produced improved effort since then. Queen Power has been a bit of a frustration up until last time, really, when she absolutely jabbed up at York. But she's coming back in trip, and I just think that at this distance, Lady Beaufort might just have one or two too many gears for her. But you're not going to get rich on the price now, and you're not getting much juice either, I don't think.
No, you're not. Dan, right, favourite for you or elsewhere?
Yeah, I was with Tony on the preview pod. I think she's a very, very good mare. She really is, and she's flourishing. She's getting better all the time. I can't really see a hole in her. And I wonder if the exchange price, which you checked a second ago, about 2.94 at the time recording, with I think it's 9-4 to lay. Perhaps if the gap goes somewhere, it goes somewhere in between the 13-8. Actually, won't be her SP if that's a sportsbook price. I mean, if we're sort of collective in the opinion that there's very little wrong with a bar the price, one potential angle for people could be go in the betting without and have a look at Anassis, who's a winner at the Royal Meeting last season. Normally in bigger fields, admittedly, but she clearly thrives in the straight track Ascot scenario. She's not been seen since October, but she won first time out last season. I don't think that will be a concern. And she is, conversely, she's a very quick miler. She's not a Queen Power who's coming back. She's got the gears to go 6 and 7, but clearly stays a mile very well. So I might do that. And if Lady Beaufort State holds a price about 2-1, I'd probably back her because it was 9-4 in the preview pod and a bit's changed because she's declared. So at least we know she's running now. And yeah, if she's about that price, I'd back her, but I might have a look at Anassis as well without the favourite.
Okay. She's 7-1 Anassis without the favourite, and obviously you can get 7-1 each way. So
yeah, it's the same price as the Chris Wallhorse without the favourite, but she's got stamina to prove for me. I thought she might be more of a 7 furlong
filly. Yeah, I can see that angle, and Fellows is in good form.
Very good. Okay, the 4:20 then is the Prince of Wales Stakes. This is my nap of the week, given on the pod. And it's Love. She does go in this. She was 3-1 at the time of recording when we did our big week preview. She's now into 6-4, which reflects what I think of her ability. Lord North 5-2, Armory 3-1. You've got 8-1 bar. It's probably between those top three in the market. Kevin, I'm a huge fan of Love. You know, if she goes to the Arc, I'll be backing her there as well. 6-4, she's a bet for me. What about you?
Yeah, look, I'm kind of pleasantly surprised she was declared. Now, I know the vibes, they've been kind of put up the Pretty Potty as a potential alternative, but they're coming. They were worried that, you know, if they waited for the Curra, that they're dealing with unknowns there. It's Ireland. You know, I know it's the end of June, but it could be raining. So they're getting fast ground here. So they're going to take it while they get it. And look, this is a good group one, but look, Love has the potential to be better than a good group one filly, if you know what I mean. She looked like a bit of a superstar last season. We only got to see her three times, but geez, each time she was very, very good. And this trip could potentially be her best trip. You know, she got away with a mile in the Guineas. She looked very pacey over a mile and a half at Epsom and then again at York. So a mile two, you know, it could be the old Goldilocks trip for her, even though she clearly stays 12 as well. So look, I just can't wait to see her. It's difficult to have a strong betting opinion. The vibes, funny enough, have been quite good in the last couple of days about her and about her work and everything else. So as good as Armory looked at Chester, and he brings group one form of his own into the mix. And could be wrong, of course, but I don't think Armory is a potential superstar like Love is. And Lord North, as good as he's looked on his best days, with a few dodgy runs in between, you know, again, I think you're dealing in rarefied air with Love. And just from a spectator's point of view and everything else, I'd love to see her just cruising behind him there and absolutely lash up, because it would be very exciting. And we all want to see superstars, and she has a fair sniff of a superstar about her now when we last saw her. So hopefully she comes out here and proves that she's just as good, if not better, than we were seeing last season.
That'll be the highlight of the week for me if she does exactly that. Dan Barber, are you going to go against her or are you with her?
It's quite tricky because Sangarius is arguably the key horse, because he might be the only one that's going to go on with it. Most of the others have been handy. I don't know what Love will do, because she's back in trip, and I do think she's a very strong stayer at mile and a half. She's not a slow filly at all, I'm not saying that, but could be a bit of ring rustiness not seen since last summer. I think if it comes down to who's got the best turn of pace, Lord North will win this, because I do think that's absolutely his main attribute, is his ability to quicken and sustain it for a couple of furlongs, as he did when he won this race last season in such clear-cut fashion. He beat Adabe last season. Adabe wouldn't be able to give the weight to Love, I don't think, even on his best, but he did beat him convincingly. And I wonder if a tactical race will suit him a bit more than the O'Brien pair.
Tony, I think I'm expecting Love to set out here at a really strong gallop and just blow them off. That's, a bit like I thought would happen to Jacques and Bersois in the Champion Chase. He ended up doing it at Punchestown. Just set off at a really high cruising speed and just burn these off. If she doesn't do that, she might be vulnerable to Lord North, as Dan said, but I'm expecting her to do that.
Are they really going to go from the front on love first time up?
I'd be surprised.
I'd be surprised. When I do the column with Ryan, he never goes into tactics, and I never ask him. Obviously, he's never going to go up 2 days before and tell everyone what he's going to do, unless he's going to put them away. But no, I just, Sangaris, you know, making the pace last time didn't work out, and Dan makes the salient point here. What is going to go on here? I think this could turn into a really tactical race. I think you're going to need a horse with a turn of foot. And I've really come around to Armory. I mean, I think this horse could be the Ballydoyle number one horse by the end of the season. Now, that might be a strange thing to say, given he had a lot of racing at 2 and 3, but he really came into his own at the back end. And I was blown away by him at Chester, showing a really, the way he picked him up from first to last, beating Sangaris in the Hutchie Stakes was very, very impressive. I think I said on the preview show, I'd love to see this horse in a strongly run mile race. I would have loved to see him take on Palace Pier first time up in the Queen Anne, to be perfectly honest with you. So I think if this is a tactical race and they do run it as a dawdle, and that's got to be a big concern, then I think Armory could well win this. I mean, I think you're going to get 7-2 plus on the exchange, and I can see myself having a decent bet. It's not my kind of, obviously you'd have loved a day to be in here so you can get the each way free places. And I wouldn't have mind back in Armory 3-1, 7-2 each way in this, because I can't see him at the first three. But, you know, there are questions about love first time up. I don't think they're going to burst her first time up, so I don't think they're going to go from the front. Lord North, I think we mentioned before, he bled. And obviously, yeah. So he has to come back from, you know, and that was back in Mort. So he's, you know, he could maybe be a little ring rusty. And although he was brilliant in Dubai and brilliant in this race last year, I just think all roads lead to Armory here for me. I think you can get 130, and I think you'll get bigger on the exchange. I think Armory could be the standout here. And I think he's a horse going places this season.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Good stuff, gentlemen. The 5 o'clock then. On the card is the Royal Hunt Cup. It's over a mile. And Dan, you can kick us off, please, with this fine a sound as your 6-1 favourite at the time of recording. You've got Hakiki 10-1 for John and Thady Gosden. Magical Morning 12s. Matthew Flinders 12s. Astro King is 12s. Lafayette for Noel Mead. Irish Admirable for William Haggis. And 14's Bar. Dan, wide open. Wide, wide open race. So give us something at a big old price that might be each way thievery, if you don't mind.
Well, I put up Irish Admiral on the preview pod, but I fear that draw in six is going to scupper him, because the pace here is surely high. May Danny, he won't be able to make all around here. He's more a Goodwood horse, but he makes the running every single time, so he'll be doing that. He's in 24. I'm just minded to go, but I know he had the claimer on Hakiki, but that performance in the Lincoln was classic group horse in a handicap material, and that mess of a race at Ascot just, I don't think, went for him at all. He's only £7 higher than in the Lincoln. You take the last run out of it and a blowout last season, which was forgivable. He's basically won his last three in this type of race. And I think I find it very hard to see 4 or 5 beating him if he's back in the same sort of form as he was first time out. So he's definitely my first choice. I'd have had him favourite for this based on what he did in the Lincoln. But pal, he's probably an old enemy of a lot of people because he's infrequent winning. But Escobar, you've got to play him, haven't you, in this race at a massive price with the extra places as well, because he's got a really good record at Ascot on the straight track. He's a Lord Glitters / Bless Him / however many other horses we mentioned this week that thrive under this set of circumstances. He'll be played late. If that 14 stall was 24, I'd have been even more confident because he'd get towed into the race. But I'm sure Tudhope will be mindful that he needs to steady him at the start, come across and ride him for a bit of luck. But I mean, if I was going to have it, I'd probably back Escobar place only as my main bet. But I think Hakiki and Escobar against the field are a pretty good duo to have.
Okay, Tony, who have you come down on then? And what I repeat, it's just a wide open Royal Hunt Cup.
Yeah, I backed Astro King 14s and 12s, 6 places with the sports book. I love his profile coming into this. He's a well-bred, lightly raced colt. He's not in a win. Has worked out really, really well. And I thought he should have won the first Hunt Cup last time. Well, I think he would have done if he was better drawn. This horse doesn't do anything quickly, and he was drawn on the outside at first, lost his position going around the bend, and was playing catch up thereafter at Fersk, and I think he did ridiculously well to finish as close as he did. I think the form for the first Hunt Cup, I think that was a strong renewal. He has been put up £3, but and he went up £6 for the Nottingham win, which was only by a short head. But obviously, as I said, the form's worked out well with the likes of Finer Sound, who's a favourite in here, coming out and winning since. So I really like Astro King. Dan makes, again, makes an excellent point about the draw. In 27, I think you want to be middle to high, and I think stand side is perfect. If he gets the run of the race, I'd be disappointed if he's not at least in the first six. But I'm going to play a saver on Beat Le Bon in track two. Now, the draw is a massive concern, so I would advise you to back him win only on the exchange. But I mean, this horse is officially the best handicapped horse in the race. He's £2 when on his Doncaster run last time. He's a pound lower than when winning his last race at Glorious Goodwin back in 2019. All his best forms over a mile on fast ground. If he's not totally disadvantaged by the draw on the far side, then I think he may well be the... he is officially the best handicapped horse going into the race. So I play two, Astro King each way six places and Beat the Bond. I'll play him. I'll be looking for 25-1 plus win only on exchange, given that negativity about the draw.
Okay, very good. Nice one, lads. The 5:35, I should say, is the Windsor Castle Stakes. 5 furlong again, it's a sprint. And Rutin for Wesley Ward is in here at 3-1 favourite at the moment. Amalfi Coast for Aidan O'Brien, 8-1. Dig 2 for Hugo Palmer at 10s. Tipperary Sunset, 10s. Golden Bell is 10s. And it's 12-1 Barracake. Are you with the Wesley Ward Rutin in this, or how do you see it?
I thought Rutin was very impressive now. Of all Wes's ones now, I thought she was particularly impressive. Watching back the videos.
Yeah, agreed,
it was, like she won, you know, it was on turf, which not all of his were running over, you know, it was 5.5. And it was just the manner in which she did it. You know, she was typical of Wes Ward, you know, well away, speed. But she looked quite green to me still, but still had the race wrapped up 2 furlongs out. You know, good move in Philly. She'd bounce off the ground. It's a pedigree we know well. Like, you know, she's by a Ribchester. She's a half-sister to Hit the Bid, who was a right good sprinter for Darren Bunyan over here for years. I do like her now. But look, it's all built into the price, isn't it? The Wes Ward factor. One that I was kind of had quietly in mind for this for a while, but I'm not overly happy with the draw, is Armour, trained by Richard Hannan. Won first time out at Doncaster back in April, and you know was in the race at Chester at the Lily Agnes, and was pulled out on account of, well, I imagine it's because of the ground really, but gets back on the fast surface here, and he's definitely an interesting contender, but I just really would have preferred if he was drawn a bit closer to the Americans, because I think that's where everyone would want to be drawn. Is at least you might be able to keep up with them, but at least they give you a target to aim at.
Kevin, if you don't do the forecast here, for anyone who doesn't know, Kevin lives in a place called Golden in Tipperary. If you don't do the forecast here, Golden Bell to beat Tipperary Sunset, you're going to absolutely kick yourself when it comes in. You got to at least put a tenner on the forecast.
Where's the Amalfi Coast? Is that your neck of the woods as well? Yeah. I don't know, is it?
Naples,
isn't it?
I saw somebody put up a picture on Twitter from the Amalfi Coast yesterday.
Yeah, it's Italy. It's Sorrento.
Yeah, it is. It's Italy. So exactly.
Looks all right.
Long way from Golden, Kev. Right. So Dan, give us your tip for this, please. We don't mind.
Well, mine just a while. I don't want to patronise people. They know how things work, but if you're backing an American again here, you really need to be backing her before the first one runs, before the opening race, because the market will be going only one way if the first... I mean, you could even apply this to on the first day. If Wes Ward wins the Coventry, then his horses later in the week will naturally all short. And the other thing to note is also in the opening race on the day, Queen Mary, the runner-up, Artos, runs, and Ruthin gave that horse a six-length hammering in the race that Kev described, where it was on turf, so there's no issue with the familiarity of the surface. I think he's clearly the pick of the pairing based on pedigree. But stripping away who trains and everything, this is a 350 grand horse with an absolutely superb pedigree that looks very, very fast based on what we saw first time out. So it's pretty simplistic. But I think I think that's the way to play. I'd even be looking at sticking the two Americans in a double. I wouldn't put anybody off doing that, because if you take the prices and the first one wins, then the second one is only heading one way, and it wouldn't be beyond the realms to see this horse go off sub twos if the Wesley Ward horse wins the first and the horse that was second to Ruth in Artos runs really well in that opening race.
Okay,
oh, dear stuff. Me. He's walking the course. He's tipping Americans.
Related contingencies.
He's taking all the Tony Calvin boxes.
He's going to say, "Is the sun's going to be shining?" So he's going, "Oh, well, this looks really well because it's all brown and shiny."
lovely. Right, the last one, lads, is our Kensington Palace Stakes handicap, 0-105, the old mile course, and the favourite is Lights On for Michael Stout and Ryan Moore, 9-2. At the time of recording, just shaded by Dream Loper at 5-1, a little bit of money for in the last couple of days. Stunning Beauties in there for at 7-1 for Saeed Bin Saror. So I Told You for Joseph O'Brien, 17-2, a Declared Interest 9-1, and Tens Bar. Tony Calvin, have you had a bet in this? Do you have a strong fancy?
I'm going to wait until near the off, because I'm going to bet Caspian Queen win only on the exchange. But I think she's going to drift because. Uh-huh. She has her stamina to prove, because she was cutting her teeth over 5 furlongs and 6 furlongs when we were Richard Hughes last season. But her form's stepped up a level since she's joined Sean Woods, and he stepped her up to 7 furlongs. And she's been quite a strong sayer at 7 furlongs, which is quite a surprise given her pedigree. But yeah, I'd like the way she won at Kempton last time. I think it's well worth a shot at this mile trip. Now, obviously, drawn 16 of 16, James Doyle's going to need a lot of luck here, but she's a horse that does it the hard way. And, you know, and I think the fact she traded 110 in running at Kempton last time before getting up close home over 7 furlongs tells me that, you know, she could be coming on the scene late here over this mile. So I think Caspian, she's 12-1 across the board. I'd be looking for 14-1, 16 plus win only on exchange, because she's a kind of horse that I think will be opposing the market, because you've got sexy horses near like Lights On and Dream Loper, but the handicap has done those no favour. They were Lights On went up £6 and Dream Loper went up £5 for their first and second here last time, and I think that's pretty harsh. Ryan does like Lights On. She's a pretty short enough. I'll take a wild swing when only small stakes Caspian Queen.
Okay, and maybe wait to the day if, as Tony says, he predicts that she will drift on the exchange. Daniel, last word to you, please.
Dead quick, tap into that form line that Tony mentioned with the beat Le Bon. Stunning Beauty got the better of him off a 3-month layoff. And if you take out the disastrous 2 runs in Dubai, this filly's 3 from 3. And really, we should only just be scratching the surface, because that was almost like her reappearance effectively, because the 2 runs in Dubai had been so bad. So she's, without that, she's an unbeaten filly who's up only £3 for winning that, has obviously bred to do better. She's from... related to Volcanic Sky, who the stable have largely done well with. So, yeah, she'd be the small stake suggestion that. No idea where you want to be draw-wise. Can be a bit of a disaster around that bend, can't it? But, yeah, she'd be my small stake suggestion.
Lovely. Okay, all that's left then, gentlemen, is for our naps of day 2 at Royal Ascot. I'll kick us off, seeing as I went bottom of the barrel. Wooden spoon, well and truly lodged, you know where. I'm gonna go with Bova. I know she's 6-4. But I did put her up as my nap of the week last week when she was 3-1. If you took that chance and backed her Andy Post in the hope that she'd end up here. She has ended up here. She's 6-4, and I think she wins. Get in there. Daniel Barber, off to you.
I need to have something at a slightly bigger price than normal. I'll be Hakiki win and place in the Royal Hunt Cup. Only got 30-odd horses to beat. Sounds a piece of you know what.
Lovely. Okay, Hakiki for Dan. Kevin Blake, your nap of the week. Are we going to stick with Desert Dreamer?
Yeah, I'll follow your theme. The theme of loyalty, Hugh. I'll stick with Desert Dreamer. She's a shorter price now, but I think she might end up around 16-1 or that, I'd say. So Desert Dreamer, we'll go win in place. We'll go win in place.
Win in place. Okay, and for your good self, Tony Calvin.
Taipan to win by 4 lengths going away in the Queen's.
Well, it's a strong shave for Taipan and Jessica Harrington. Okay, good stuff.
I thought you were going to go armory then, Tone.
Yes,
I was right. I thought you were going to go armory.
I'd rather tip some at tens than armory, but I will be backing both.
Okay, obviously. Lovely stuff. Gents, thank you for your company. As always, we're back to doing it all again tomorrow for day 3 of Royal Ascot, so make sure you tune in for that. Please remember to gamble responsibly always and enjoy the race, and it should be a cracking day once again. Talk to you soon.